Let us read further in God's Word from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. It's page 1050 in our pew Bibles, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. After we have read the first 11 verses of that chapter, we'll return to Romans chapter 13, where we were last night, and we'll read our text from the end of that chapter. Romans chapter 13. So 1 Thessalonians 5, this is in some ways a parallel passage to our text. Many of the same themes are brought forward in these verses, verse 1 through 11. Let us hear God's word. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. So far from this chapter, turning back to Romans chapter 13. And we'll begin reading at verse 11. And last night we focused on verse 11 and the first part of 12. And we'll have as our text this morning the second part of 12 through verse 14. But just to keep the whole context together, we'll start reading at verse 11. Romans 13, verse 11, and do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. So far the reading of God's Word. In our prayer, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, last evening's sermon ended with a call to wake up in view of the time. In view of the fact that time is on its way out, that the end is drawing nearer. And for believers, as Paul puts it so richly in Romans 13, verse 11, for all Christian believers, what that means is that our salvation, our full and forever salvation, is nearer than when we first believed. And therefore, what reason to be awake and to stay awake and to live awake, and how dangerous even to be sleeping, not to be awake. And at the same time, how possible, how easily possible it is to be asleep. Therefore, the call to be awake, and to stay awake. Well, all of that was last night. Today and this morning, going further in Romans 13, what we find is that Paul works out in more detail what that means. To be awake and to live awake. Listen again to the apostle as he is inspired by the Holy Spirit. Romans 13, verse 12b through 14. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. So that's the text. And what it is direction on living awake. We can learn from these words how to live as awake believers this new year and always. Our theme is living awake in 2017, and we could add even and beyond. Living awake in 2017 and beyond. 3 points from the text. The first is living awake actively so. Living awake actively so. Actively, because notice how Paul calls us to action. Let us cast off, he says, the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. And verse 14, let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and let us make no provision for the flesh. So here is what we are to do. And the point is that we are to be active. We are to be actively awake. In fact, the imagery throughout the text is very specifically in terms of getting undressed and redressed. Like when we change from our pajamas to our clothes for the day. When we cast off our pajamas and we put on our uniform or our suit or our work clothes or whatever it is. We'll come to the details shortly, but the point for now is the activity that is involved. And the fact that Paul is saying that this is something we do. So can I ask you, do you think of your spiritual life? Do you think of your life before God? Do you think of it in terms of something for which you are responsible? Is that not what Paul is saying? Not that he's denying the grace of God, of course, or our dependence on the Holy Spirit. No, all of that is true, and Paul teaches that elsewhere, many places even. Well, what can sometimes happen is that we so stress the grace of God, we so stress that we cannot work for our salvation as we should stress that, but sometimes we can stress that so much that in the process we forget that to be saved means also to be set free and enabled to serve the Lord. Or to say it another way, if we have received the Holy Spirit, which all Christians do, the Holy Spirit is a vital part of salvation. He is even in a way the crowning gift of salvation. We don't simply get pardoned and peace with God. We get power through the person of the Holy Spirit who comes to live in us. And His work is to make us active. His work is to stir us up. The fruit of the Spirit is our obedience. And we ought to remember that. And so also to realize that to be a Christian and to be an awake Christian means for sure to be an active Christian. Actively obedient. Actively serving the Lord. How did Paul put it one time to the Philippians? Remember when he said, work out your own salvation? Work out your own salvation. That's like our text here in Romans 13. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day. Let us put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us make no provision for the flesh. Oh, how important for us to register this point of activity. Because the Christian life, you know, it doesn't just happen to us. We're to live it. Holiness is not really an experience. It is a duty. It is a calling. It is to be the commitment of our heart. And so again, the question regarding responsibility. Would you say, an active Christian? Are you involved in your Christian confession and life? Do you take ownership for what you believe and for the way that you live? Are you personally invested in the condition of your faith and in your adorning that faith or not? Are you resolved daily and specifically and ever so steadfastly resolved to look in faith to the living Savior and to be obedient to His word and will. What about being deliberate and intentional when it comes to devotional practices? Making time for God's word in your life. That's not going to happen to you. You've got to be deliberate about it. Making time for prayer. Making time for reflection. If that's not happening in your life, if that's not being worked out in your life, Paul would call you to it. Start, he would say. We're to be active Christians. Same with putting sin away in our life and striving to imitate the Savior. God will not do it for us. We'll get to some of the details in the second point, but already now we're to realize we are to be responsible. We are to be engaged. This is our fight. And it must be our commitment with all our hearts so to live before God. Isn't this especially the point of the text now? That it's about holiness. It's about likeness to Christ. It's about shining clearly, purely and brightly in this world. And that's on us. That's for you and me to do. We are to be focused on it and giving ourselves to it with all that we are. If we don't, Paul would say, you're sleeping. If we won't, Paul would say, wake up. I mean, that's how it goes in physical life, doesn't it? This morning may have been a bit different. To get out of bed can be a challenge, but every morning we have to get out of bed. No one else is going to do that for us. This morning when my alarm rang, I did what I should not do. I got up and I turned it off and I went back to bed. After 5 minutes, my wife said, you getting up? Well, she's not going to do it for me. I had to do it. And we understand that each one of us, if we are to get out and get going, we have to get ourselves out. If we don't, we'll stay in bed. Nothing will happen. We'll sleep all day. And so also with our spiritual life. Is this not a point very much to feel this morning? Are we taking responsibility for our souls and for our lives? Young people, growing up in your family home, your parents' faith is your parents' faith. For it to become your faith, you need to be involved. You need to be invested. You are responsible. Are we taking responsibility for our behavior, for our choices, for our repentance, for our faith, for our new obedience? Are we actively engaged in living as awake believers in Jesus? But Paul does not only stress being actively awake. Something else in our text, and what's even overwhelming emphasis really, is being evidently awake. Evidently awake. That's our second point. And here let's pay special attention to the particulars. Like when Paul says, for example, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. So keeping in mind the imagery of changing our clothes, taking off our night clothes and putting on our day clothes. That's the overall imagery. But notice the details. Notice how there's a great contrast. There's the contrast between works and armor. There's the contrast between darkness and light. If we are sleeping, if believers are sleeping, what that means is that they are living unholy and ungodly lives. And they are letting themselves participate in sin. And they are living really the life of the wicked. And they are doing what is evil in the eyes of God. How different if we are awake. Because for one thing, we are not wearing mere works. No, we are wearing armor. Paul writes about armor. And what that signals is that awake believers dress for war. Awake believers realize they are in a fight. Awake believers put on the armor that God provides. Why? Because they understand that all our life long, God calls us here and now to wrestle, to fight, to resist, to stand against, and to be engaged in warfare. I'm reading right now to some of our children the series Journeys Through the Night. Many children and young people have read those books, I'm sure. And after one particular night, one of the children said, Dad, I'm scared. I'm scared that a war will come. And it was an opportunity to talk and share. But Isn't it true that as Christians we have to say to all our children, we are in a war. As long as we live, we are in a war. No, not necessarily against flesh and blood. In fact, Scripture says, no, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Against the evil one with all his dominion. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Beings whom we cannot see, but who are no less real. And who are arrayed in battle formation against the church and the people of God. And they are dangerous, and they are slippery, and they are relentless. And the call of God is to fight. And so awake believers understand that. And thus also they don every day the armor of God. Think here of the many pieces Paul outlines in another passage. Pieces with which we should be ever familiar. The belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. The shoes of peace. The helmet of salvation. The shield of faith. And the sword of the Spirit. And Christians wear that armor. And when they wear that armor and they're awake, then it's clear. It's clear that they are awake because that armor is all about the Lord and His Word and His Spirit and His holiness. And awake believers, they're holding fast to the living God. And they're deep into His Word and they're filled with the Spirit. And they radiate the holiness of God. And it's evident. It's evident. Yes, it must be so. Because you cannot wear the armor of light. Notice that's Paul's expression in the text. The armor of light. You cannot wear it and not be noticed. Just in terms of it being different from the darkness. That by itself. And then it being light. So how it shines and how it warms and what a blessing the light is. All of which is to say, awake believers are evidently awake. Notice how with the next two verses, Paul really drives home this point. Because he says in verse 13, let us walk properly or decently as in the day. In other words, let it be clear, so clear from your life that you are not sleeping. In other words, not caught up in the works of darkness. No, you are awake. You are living as if it's day. Let us walk properly, decently. Just like we don't wear our pajamas to work or to school. At least most times we don't. Over at Heritage, every once in a while they have this thing called Pajama Day. And the kids go to school in their pajamas. I'm always so glad I'm not a student anymore when they have that day. But I guess it's fun for the kids. But imagine your boss saying, tomorrow's pajama day. You can come in your pajamas. That's ludicrous, isn't it? And if you came in your pajamas just because you wanted to, you'd get sent home. That's not how we dress at work. But so much the more if it's about day, if it's the day of salvation coming closer and closer, the great day of God's glory, for all His people is set to arrive. Let's not be wearing the clothes of sin and darkness. Instead, let us live as if it is day. Let us live as if that day has already come. Let us be those who are so eager to greet the day. We are living. It's like when you go on a trip, you know, and you're leaving early in the morning. So mom and dad say, put your clothes on. Go to bed in your clothes so you can get out and go. We've got to have something of that spirit. Christ is coming and we're living in our clothes with which we greet Him. The clothes of new obedience and a life of praise and thanks to Him. Well, maybe at this point you are thinking, Pastor, we understand the overall principle. Can you help us with some details? And let's do that. And let's just listen to Paul as he works out some details. Right from the text, verse 14. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness. Not in lewdness and lust. Not in strife and envy. Now, let's notice that Paul is not exhaustive here. That is to say, there are many more things we could address. And Paul does so, and Scripture does so in many other places. But let's stick just with what he's written here. It's very relevant, and it's more than enough even for one morning. What does Paul say? He says we're to walk, if we're awake, properly, not in revelry and drunkenness. That means not participating in wild parties
and becoming drunk. Not out of control with all of our fleshly appetites. We could include here not just alcohol, but also becoming high, as is sadly so common today, high on drugs. Paul forbids that. Paul says, all of that is not right. All of that belongs to the darkness. You could think too of when people eat way too much, when they're out of control in their eating and they get in a certain way drunk on food. The word is gluttony. Gluttony. We're not to do any of that. Well, maybe you're thinking that's easy for us. We're self-controlled people. We're cultured, reformed people. We know better than to do that sort of thing. But let's realize that the whole world is doing it. And for most in this world, isn't it true? It's not a party if there isn't alcohol. And it's not a great party if there isn't lots. And maybe it's a temptation sometimes for our young people, especially when you get into college or university. I had the privilege of going to a Christian university, although even there were problems, of course. But I remember one time going along with, when I was a pastor in Mitchell, going along with a young man to Fanshawe College in London, and he just took me on a tour, and we spent 1 hour walking around the campus and walking through all of the different buildings, and I came away saying to myself, if you want to sin, there are plenty of opportunities here to give yourself to a life of sin. And I'm sure our young people today in college and university would confirm that many times over. It's all there for you. It's so easy to do. And even with us older ones, what about our gatherings, for example, where alcohol is served? Of course, not wrong. But is it always in moderation? Is it always in moderation? Or can it happen also with us? It doesn't even have to be a party. It can be privately at home. Maybe it happened at one of the Christmas events this past month with family or at work or with friends or even last night. Could it be that with some the darkness overcame the light? You really had too much to drink. While you may have been awake before, you certainly weren't awake then. Not physically, not spiritually. And that's clear. It's evident. And Paul says, don't do it. Turn from it. Notice the second specific detail. Not in lewdness and lust. In other words, not in sexual sin. That kind of living does not belong to the light. It does not fit with those who are awake. And is this not a point also to take very seriously, especially in our day? If we think how common sexual sin is, everything from affairs to common law to perversions to pornography, adultery and fornication, all of it comes under the heading of lewdness, uncleanness, and lust. Giving in to our sinful appetite, and all of it marks our day. In fact, as we know, we have the last 50 or 60 years passed through what's been called the sexual revolution as a culture. And all the old norms are gone. All the biblical standards have been wiped out. Even in the last 25 years, our children are growing up hearing and seeing things that when I grew up, we never saw. We never heard. Today they are presented as common and as the rights of every person. Indeed, the reigning idea is every man for himself. Take whatever you want, whatever you can find, and there are really no consequences or hardly any. And so many are drinking it in. And how freely and how vividly it can be done, and not only done, but seen and enjoyed on the screen, whether through the internet or whether by way of TV shows and movies. It's simply our mainstream. But Paul is saying, believers, if we are awake, we are to be so different. Our conversations, our relationships, our thought patterns. Yes, also our listening to music and our taking in what's presented by Hollywood and others. We are to live in such a way that we are not participating in lewdness and lust. And if you do this, if you do what Paul is saying, it will be clear, won't it? Because it will set you apart. You won't be going along with people to the movies where this is on display. You won't be taking part in the jokes when this is in some way the subject. You won't have on your playlist songs that promote or celebrate unfaithfulness or are just plain dirty. And above all, you will guard your own heart and your relationships with zeal. Notice one more detail Paul mentions. He says, not in strife and envy. In other words, if we are walking properly, if we are living awake, then we will show that in not living in strife and envy. This, I don't know how you receive this, this almost comes as a surprise, doesn't it? Because when Paul mentions revelry and drunkenness and lewdness and lust, those things are in a certain way obvious. They're such major sins. So of course we won't do them and shouldn't do them. And by God's grace, we keep ourselves from them. And we can have a tendency then to think, well, I'm doing pretty well, aren't I? I never get drunk. I'm faithful in marriage. I don't visit those inappropriate places on the internet. And of course, that's good. But what about this one? Not in strife and envy. In other words, not needlessly arguing and fighting. Not promoting all sorts of unnecessary, unhelpful friction and division and animosity and tension and more. Not doing that in our families, in our marriages, with our children, as brothers and sisters. Not doing that with our friends or at work or at school or at church. Not being difficult and obnoxious. And neither resenting what others have. And sinfully wanting their blessings for ourselves. Not living so discontentedly and so covetously, but living at peace and at rest. Is this not a point particularly to challenge us? Is this not a point at which we have to say, Paul, no doubt you've got us there. Because how easy it is to be an agitator and not a peacemaker. How easy it is to get our back up and to respond with a certain vindictiveness towards others. How easy it is to go into a group or to be part of a relationship where we don't promote peace. But we're so self-serving that we just bully people out of the way. And how easy it is to live in the spirit of envy. If only in the secret place of our mind and heart. Have you never discovered this? How easy it is to do all these things and how easy too to excuse them and not to feel the sinfulness of them and not to see how they are really works of darkness and that whenever we engage or indulge in them, we are really going to sleep. We are really laying down on our bed as they were, putting our head on our pillow, closing our eyes and saying, we will not be awake, believers. Is this a point of conviction for anyone here this morning? Are you living with a fighting spirit? Are you letting discontent and envy rule? What's that say about you? And what's God's call to you? Cast off the works of darkness. Yes, let us be evidently awake. And let's notice, evidently not only in terms of the negative, but see how richly Paul brings in the positive. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice how he uses all those names, Lord Jesus Christ. So the Savior in all his glory as appointed mediator and deliverer, as prophet, as priest, as king, Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul's great point is that we don't only trust him, we get to wear him. Sometimes we don't like what we have to wear. Sometimes we settle clothes for the kids maybe and they don't, I don't like that. I want something else. Well, we can't ever say that about Christ. God gives Christ to us, says, here's your Savior. Believe in him and you even get to wear him. Well, what does that mean? How do we wear the Savior? Interestingly, Paul writes in a similar way Over in Galatians 3, verse 27. Paul writes in a similar way in that passage, except what he's doing there is describing not what we're to do as Christians, but what we did in becoming Christians. Listen to Galatians 3, verse 27. Paul says, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's an illuminating passage. What Paul is teaching is that coming to faith in Christ and confessing that, what in effect happens is that you put on Christ. You begin, he comes round you, as it were, to clothe you with himself. And Paul writes that way because Paul understands that faith in Christ is not simply something mental staying inside my own head. Faith is a gift of God, a grace of the Holy Spirit that actually, physically, spiritually unites me to Christ and makes me one with him. We believe into him, the Bible teaches, and he, through his Spirit, enters into us. And therefore, what a connection, what a relationship to be a Christian, to be a follower of Christ, is to go through life clothed with Christ. And Paul writes this way to get at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. But now in our text, over in Romans 13, writing about putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul here is, what he is doing is he's calling for a deliberate, steadfast working out of that being clothed with Christ, of what it means to be a believer in Christ. Don't only believe him, wear him. Actively, evidently, obviously wear him. And Paul, really what he's saying is that all the time in our life we are to be so fixated and focused on the Savior. We are to seek to be mesmerized by his beauty and glory. We are to live so happy in his salvation. We are to rest in his arms and in his care and having his Spirit. We are to be so eager to please him and to want to reflect him. He is to fill our mind and heart. He is greater even than we could ever know. He is to be everything to us. And so focused on him, and so dependent on him and following him, we are to live as he lived and lives. His holiness is to adorn our whole life. Thinking back to the overall point now, when that is us, when we are so casting off darkness and putting on light and walking properly and doing all those things that Paul mentions, and above all, putting on Christ. How would Christ have me to live in this situation? How can I show the glory and beauty of Christ in this or that relationship, in this or that moment? When that's us, it's evident, isn't it? It's obvious that we're awake. Just like you can tell when someone's not awake in life, so you can tell when someone's not awake in Christ. And all the more you can tell when they are awake in Christ. And what about you and me this morning? What does your life, what do our lives show? Are we seeking for it to be evident? Is it, among other things, our prayer? Lord, help me to believe in the Savior. Help me to reflect the Savior. Do we not then show that we are awake? And is this not how to live the life that God has given us? Yes, also as we enter another year, actively, evidently awake. Well, one more point before we finish, and it's brief. We make it because Paul makes it. And in a certain way, it's most challenging of all. Living awake in 2017, not only actively and evidently, but thoroughly. Thoroughly. Now, Paul has, in a certain way, already said this, but let's take note of the last phrase of the text, and especially one word. When Paul says at the end of verse 14, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. If we provide for the flesh, that means our sinful flesh. If we provide to fulfill its lusts, that's what the darkness does. That's all those things that Paul mentions in the text, and many more, like revelry and drunkenness, and lewdness and lust, and so on. All those things come out of our own sinful, fleshly heart. And they are what we do as sinners. And Paul says, no, don't do that. Don't give opportunity for your flesh to do that. Don't feed that. Don't nurture that. Say no to that. And yes, notice that word, no. Paul says, make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision to fulfill the lusts of the flesh. No provision. And the point that he's making is that to live awake, our commitment has to be that every sin must go. No sin may be tolerated. No weakness is acceptable. No indulgence is to be allowed. No lust, however small, however petty. It doesn't hurt anyone. I can have this little thing still. No, nothing is to be permitted. Paul wants us thoroughly awake. Make no provision. We can say it like this. To follow Christ is an all or nothing venture. It is an all or nothing venture. Jesus himself said you can't have two masters. It's going to be either your flesh or it's going to be Jesus. And if it's Jesus, then Jesus says, now make all out war on your flesh. Yes, if it's Jesus, then it can't be the flesh in any respect. It can't be any little corner that you reserved for yourself. If you try, you will at best be half awake. And more likely you will be sleeping your days away. And at a certain point it will become a question even whether or not you are really alive. No provision. That means saying to the Lord, search me, see what wicked way there be in me. Help me never to keep anything back from you. Help me never to hide anything from you. Help me to deny myself every day and to take up my cross and to be following you. Help me to discipline my body. Help me to fight to stay away and to resist every effort of Satan to close my eyes and to shut me down. Whatever it takes, Lord, let me live awake, walking properly as in the day, privileged to put on Christ. Living by faith in him, seeking in everything to imitate him. And doing so, remember, in view of the dawning, the ever-brightening life we get to live, the anticipation, the confidence that the sun will indeed arise, eternity is on the horizon, glory in its all fullness is coming, even this year. Could it be? All the time we know it is nearer and nearer. Won't you therefore, and me too, live awake? Does anyone here perhaps still need to be made alive? That could also be. And if so, listen to the gospel call. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And who here is not a sinner? And to all sinners, he says, look and live. Let us therefore be those who are alive by God's grace, but then also awake. Every day awake. All of 2017 awake. Our whole life even awake. Actively, evidently, thoroughly so. Is this not what the Savior is after? Will you commit to it with God's help? Really, it's not even a choice, is it? This is the Word of God. Amen.